Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. It's Tuesday, so you know Richard Narod can't be too far behind this little mini introduction. I'm going to cut it short because every moment is precious with Mr. Narod. Good morning, Richard Narod. How are you?
Morning, Hezi Aris, and good morning to all those out there who are listening, whether live at this very moment or later by archive. We welcome you to Westchester on the Level this fine Tuesday morning, where Hezi Aris and Rich Narod talk just about whatever's on their mind, starting with the city of Yonkers first and foremost as its foundation, but covering all other matters on all other levels of government and all topics that we deem interesting. We share our thoughts, and we share them with our listeners, and we enjoy doing that. So, Mr. Aris, this morning, what would you like to start off with? Besides the number, perhaps, how they might reach you or do things of that nature, and no matter where they are in the world and no matter what time it is.
Well, you know what's so interesting that you brought that up? You know, it's like there's so many issues to bring up. And, you know, but I guess if I had my druthers and I would stick my hand into a glass jar with issue number one and so on and so forth, I would want to pick out the public-private partnership concerns. As we learned last week, you and I had discussed the finding.
Well, first of all, that's why I'm here, I guess. I do all this educational explaining.
You do all the heavy lifting.
Well, the private-public partnership, which we're discussing this morning, has to do with the Yonkers Board of Education and its capital improvement program, as it's been whispered to us, not shouted out or told, but whispered, because it's very difficult to get information. And this is in the city of Yonkers and the Board of Education. The Yonkers Board of Education is fiscally dependent but on the city of Yonkers, but otherwise totally independent and works under the New York State Education Department and its rules. So that's the issue before us when Hezi here begins to speak about the public-private partnership.
Well, as you well know, the public-private partnership is this concept where funding would come from the private sector in order to rebuild or renovate or start fresh, building the Yonkers Board of Education infrastructure. So you've got the private sector on one hand, and then you have the public sector on the other hand. As the public sector needs to. I'm sorry about that because I don't know how to turn this little machine off.
We already have a phone call here right off the bat. So.
No. That's not it. That's a new phone that I'm testing.
Well, and you're testing it well, I guess. It's not the Avon lady calling, obviously.
Well, it's not. It's that new BlackBerry Z10, which I'll be reporting on in about 2 or 3 more weeks. So I'm trying to figure out how that thing works. Anyway, so getting back to the public-private partnership, the private part are the people who will fund the building of these schools. The private sector is the public, meaning the people of the city of Yonkers, and the people who represent the public is the government. And what we've learned, unfortunately, is even though there have been so many, I guess, trial balloons in the newspapers, in mainstream media, talking about the concept of the public-private partnership as the way to go because you can build many schools at once using other people's money. To some extent, they become a burden on the public because someone's going to have to pay for this. And even though there'll be banks and financial institutions that will put up the money initially, we have to pay it back. Question is, how long will it take to pay back? What's the cost? And who becomes encumbered with this whole issue? Who becomes responsible for these costs? And that's the thing that's troubling with the Board of Education. They
well,
don't
you know, you're at this point in the conversation, we have to ask, too, how did this public-private partnership, this concept, come about? Where's the committee from the Board of Education that's been discussing it apparently for some time, because many requests for information, filed and otherwise, have not been received? And it appears people all the way up through the trustees don't even know what's going on, no less the mayor's office in City Hall or even the city council offices. So who actually, germinated this? And from that germination, who determined these costs of nearly $2 billion initially to fund this program, and why it would need it to be done sort of in an all-in-once package as opposed to over a multi-years through the regular process, and why it couldn't be done in-house as opposed to doing it outside and looking for someone from the outside, and then knowing how did they look for someone from the outside, how did they get someone from the outside, how did they interest from people from the outside, what manner and method did they use, how did they go about this. It appears like they already have someone in mind. I mean, we don't know anything about it. I don't know anyone who knows anything about it, barely its name, never mind any details, other than the two people that we have cited over these last number of weeks, which is Mr. Paquita, whom we heard speak up county several months ago, and the superintendent of schools, who I trust is much too busy with academic matters, which leaves it into the hands of Mr. Paquita. So one has to ask, from whence does he come relative to this this whole concept and his background, and who has he consulted with, and who's working with him, and just where does this all come from? A $2 billion commitment? Really? And we know nothing about it. We, meaning we the people of the city of Yonkers, we the people in the education system, we the taxpayers. I mean, do you know anybody that you've asked who knows anything about it?
Nobody knows anything about it. I checked with some members, not all the members of the Albany delegation. They are unaware of it in total, have no clue what's going on. So the Albany delegation is Shelley Mayer, the assembly person. Mr. Pretlow is also an assembly member. Senator Stuart Cousins, and also Senator Latimer. And that whole delegation is unfamiliar with what's happening. We contacted the mayor's office. The mayor is unfamiliar with the people or the group supposedly chosen by the Board of Education, which we learned, you and I learned, is the McCary Group, an unbelievable, gargantuan, behemoth financial institution with offices in Australia, the United Kingdom, Europe, as well as Canada and the United States. And there's nothing wrong with these companies except, as you said, how did we get them? How did we find them?
Not to mention that it had the name had to be discovered and couldn't have been presented. I mean, for an organization that supposedly may well be dealing with the Yonkers Board of Education, especially an international group as large as this one. And, of course, you mentioned just seconds ago where you contacted some of the Albany delegation, and none of our assembly or state senate members are aware of it. Why is that important? Because that would be part of a funding stream they'd look for from the state, yet the delegation knows nothing about it, apparently. Why is it important, obviously, that the mayor and the council of the city of Yonkers know? Well, A, because they represent the people of the city of Yonkers. B, they fund the Board of Ed. And C, on a project this large, they're part of that funding stream as well. So if you want a funding stream that's going to fund the private end of this nearly $2 billion public-private partnership, you need the city of Yonkers and Albany as part of that, a major part of that, because the Board of Education itself can't raise any money. It has no money to raise or can't be funded this way. And you know, if you're bringing in an international firm on a multi-billion dollar project, that's a very expensive endeavor. And if they're not doing it for charity, they want to make sure that whatever it is they do, they will be paid for, and there'll be a steady stream. The steady stream will be taxpayers. And the taxpayers, of course, pay three times, or sometimes four times, city, county, state, and federal. So all that has to be lined up. This is an amazing, gigantic situation that seems to be resting, obviously, in the hands, as far as we can see, of one person who we have no knowledge that he has knowledge of what it is he's getting himself involved in. by virtue of the fact that you can't get any information out of these people. This is a $2 billion project they're looking to set for the future of our city and encumber its taxpayers with a staggering bill, which you know will exceed $2 billion before the ink is dry.
Well, most definitely. And the problem...
And may I add also, and let us not forget, because it almost looks like small potatoes, but didn't this administration in City Hall, didn't the Spanner administration, through its initial efforts, indicate there'd be nearly $500 million in money over the 4 years of the mayor's term that would have to be addressed with monies needed to sustain all the projects that the city has? This $2 billion is in addition to that.
Correct. But that's the thing that's interesting as well, is that encumber means literally we're going to contract the development of these schools or the renovation of these schools to the tune of $2 billion plus the other costs for running the city, when the Board of Education has no right to that. It is a separate entity. It is dependent on the city of Yonkers. It cannot charge the city taxpayer for any funds that way. They can't like stick their hand into your wallet and pull out money. They can't get away that goes to the Board of Education now from Empire City Casino and demanding that more money come directly to them. I mean,
can you imagine? Can you imagine the gall here? I mean, you know, it's just amazing. And you would be saddling the taxpayer, all the taxpayers, over a 10, 20, 30-year time period, because it would take that long. By the time you finish, you'd have to start a new at the rate they're discussing. Plus, you don't know what any of these plans are. Are they simple renovations? They're rehabs? Are they demolitions? Are they new constructions? You know, where are they getting the land? Where are they getting the area? What numbers are they using on projection from students, which they've been horribly off the mark with the Yonkers Board of Education.
Mm-hmm.
Everything seems to be a surprise to them when you talk about what's happening. And what you're doing is you're farming out, you know, what's happening with your own staff. What happens to your own staff? Do they remain? Are they gone? What happens to them? Did they get transferred someplace? I mean, have they even dealt with that issue? And what happens? I can visualize. I'm catching this moment where let me just give you what I think is a small example but relatable. That if today you have a custodian who can change a bulb or open a door at 2 in the morning because there's a problem in a school, can you imagine that happening under the private aspect and what that would cost us for the very same action that would have to be taken, and multiply that out?
Well, most definitely, these are big issues. I'm just astounded that the audacity of the Yonkers Board of Education, knowing that it's dependent on the city, is considering literally wagging the dog by it being the tail and demanding that the city be encumbered for without the taxpayer even having a right to say a word. If we're going to even consider that, shouldn't the Board of Education then become a department of the city or maybe an independent body altogether, having its own taxing authority? It doesn't have taxing authority.
That's one aspect, becoming its own taxing authority and having its independence through an elected Board of Trustees. On the other hand, can you imagine it falling into this public-private partnership situation and then being absorbed into the city of Yonkers and really sinking the city? I mean, this is just unbelievable. What's with all the secrecy here? That gets, a lot of publicity. And why wouldn't you want publicity for something like this? Why wouldn't you look for feedback? Why is it so quiet?
Okay.
Why is it so behind closed doors?
Because I believe that this is their retirement fund for Mr. Brigida and Mr. Perazio. Why did Mr. Perazio get an extended contract if not to try to push this through burden the city taxpayers in Yonkers for the next 30 years, because it won't be 10 or 20, it'll be 30 years, and then he'll be like a consultant all over the country.
Well, you raise an interesting issue, because if this becomes a prototype and the first in the United States on a public-private partnership with the school district, as opposed to other areas where inroads are looking to be made, then, of course, with the superintendent near retirement, to retire any time, Mr. Bikita, assuming the same, well, what better than to have them promote this thing throughout the country? Isn't that very nice? What an interesting concept.
Well, the thing is also that they're being duplicitous. They're also making it difficult to follow what's going on. They don't even label it correctly. We have a 27-page document, which is called a confidential draft. It's called Yonkers Pride, and Pride means performance-based rapid infrastructure development enterprise. This is the way they're renaming public-private partnership.
Let me tell you, this is typical of educational jargon and doublespeak and the baloney that they put through the presses to get some catchword and acronym so it sounds just so wonderful. Oh, we have to take pride. This is so typical. Get away from the real deal and sell the fluff, but go ahead.
Well, it's just interesting that this is a 27...
Repeat what the PRIDE stands for again, please.
They call it Performance-Based Rapid Infrastructure Development Enterprise, PRIDE. And they claim as a subtitle, this is to Rebuilding Schools Project Delivery Options Study. And they have to do it in a high full color glossy, and as if it were like some sort of presentation, and yet this is all being quiet. This is a confidential draft. This isn't distributed anywhere. Yet none of these issues have ever been brought to anybody. The mayor hasn't seen it. The chief of staff of the mayor hasn't seen it. The Albany delegation hasn't seen it. The so-called writer of the legislation that Brigida and Perazio are soliciting to write legislation which has not been written is Senator Greg Ball up in Albany. Why are they soliciting him for writing legislation before they even have told the people of Yonkers what they're doing? God damn it, even the mayor doesn't know. I mean, he's in charge. He has to know. How can they do this run around the mayor's office?
Table.
What?
No, I'm sorry. You're right. What's on the table is what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Is anything on the table that anyone could see?
Well, they didn't know about McCary Group. We learned about it. So how
exactly
did we learn about something that nobody knows about? Why is it so under wraps? Why
right
is there no transparency in this city?
Because they want a done deal. They want to present it as a done deal and then push it down the chute and have nobody look at it and then come across and say, oh, you're trying to hold things up. We have to do it now. It's the economy. It's the dollars. It's the package. It's a must. Don't look at the details. It sounds like Nancy Pelosi. You know, we have to pass it before we know what's in it. Now, there's a mentality maybe they picked up from Washington. We have to pass it and push it before we know what's in it. Isn't that amazing? And these are the educators.
Well, I don't even know where the Yonkers Board of Education Board of Trustees are. How come
they're not? Good question. Where are they, and what do they know?
Well, they evidently don't know anything, if you must know. They are not there. Well, maybe if they do know, they're not permitted to talk. So there is no discussion of this. This is kept very close to the vest. And, you know, just you had mentioned that a couple of months ago we were following this whole process, but it was really closer to about 9 or 10 months ago when we both attended that dissertation by Senator Greg Ball up in the Mount Kisco Library. We have a 17-minute dissertation by Mr. Brigida.
Yes.
Film on Yonkers Tribune website, he spells it all out. But at that time, nobody knew. and the Albany delegation went berserk about not knowing. They told them they had to know, and yet in all these months, they haven't been kept abreast of what's going on.
The interesting thing that struck us, among many other things, was the panel was Mr. Brigida from the Yonkers Board of Ed and three members of the company, or representatives that were able to deal with this issue. I think some legal ones as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like it was a done deal to begin with. They looked like they were all part of the same team, that were they promoting the same issue. Mr. Brigida, it was hard to tell if he was representing the Board of Ed or the private interests.
So true. You know, I remember telling you, I admitted to you, and I think I admitted it to the listeners, and if not, my apology. Sometimes I forget all the things I have on the list. But at first I was deflected from paying attention to the concept because I really didn't trust the members of the Board of Education, the lack of integrity as far as I was concerned with regard to Bernard Perazio, the superintendent of schools, the public relations offices at the Board of Education, and so many other places that I've dealt with for over a decade have not given me this wonderful feeling about the Board of Ed. But that caused me not to think correctly. And then when I did start to think about it, I realized, hey, a public-private partnership concept can work. But the question is, who is taking charge? Can I trust the Board of Education to work out a contractual agreement that is that defends and protects the rights of the Yonkers citizen to renovate their school structure so that they can afford a better environment for the schools, for the students, and even for the teachers as well? Can I trust them to go up against a company that's worth almost $380 billion at its disposal all around the world? I think they're represented in 28 countries and have 70 institutions all over the world. The bottom line is, can we sit across the table against these type of people? We couldn't do it with Ratner. Ratner was only worth $10 billion. Think of what these people get paid an hour. They get paid more than our lawyers would ever get paid, ever. In 1 second, they would be outsmarted. Not because our people are stupid, but we don't have the experience on such high finance.
Point, very well taken. Who would represent the interest of the Yonkers taxpayer first and foremost? Because that's
correct.
What we're talking about here. We're not even talking about educational issues. We're talking about economic issues, capital improvement, building, financing, and we've seen what goes on with the IDA and their giveaway programs. Can you imagine who's dealing on the Board of Education side with what expertise up against powerhouse international corporations? To whose favor this will come out to?
I don't feel comfortable that will come to the favor of the Yonkersite, to the Yonkers taxpayer. And I really wonder, you know, like everything is in the detail. If we let a private firm such as McCary Group, which we didn't get through an RFP, also who authorized the Board of Education to spend supposedly education money, or that was designated for education, to go out and promote this project? Even as far away as the city state of Singapore 2 years ago. How much did this cost us?
And where did they go to see projects? How far did they travel? Did they travel? Did they go to Chicago? Did they go to Toronto? Did they go to Singapore? Did they go to
Perth?
Where did they go to make this decision?
Well, they made it all on the QT, and they spent the money designated for students and education, and they spent it on this CIP plan.
Where are the trustees, Hezzy, who are responsible, appointed by the mayor? Fiduciary responsibility rests with them on behalf of the people of Yonkers. They're responsible for the actions of the superintendent and all those below him, all of them are their employees. Where are they in this? What do they know? What have they condoned?
Well,
what
you
are
know,
they looking
maybe,
at?
Well, maybe
how involved are they?
Well, I might be speculating here, and there's no inference, but let's face it, most of those board of directors on the board of trustees at the Board of Education, they were designated into their slots by Mayor Phil Amiconi. Under
whose administration this apparently simultaneous, concurrently took place. This originated.
That's right.
While the previous mayor was still in City Hall and made the appointments to the Board of Education.
But we didn't learn about it until this administration, the Mike Spano administration, took over, because we were able to find that conference in Mount Kisco with Mr. Brigida being present. He probably didn't know me from a hole in the wall, and I certainly don't know him from a hole in the wall, and that was fine. So he just had to give the presentation, unbeknownst to him, that he was being filmed, because there were other people there. But that's the problem. You know, I don't have a staff large enough to go after these people. And yet, we don't have any mechanism to rein this in. The Board of Education is out of control, and this mayor hasn't been able to lock it into place. And that's outrageous. And the allegiance.
You wonder how far into this concept they are, how much time they've devoted to this, when a third of them barely show up sometimes to the board meetings. I mean, how much time? Who's there? I mean, how many of those who do show up and spend any time are spending even additional time involved with this? Who's doing it? I mean, who among the trustees has gotten themselves involved in this and knows anything at all about it? Or is it totally being left to Perazio and Brigida?
Well, they were probably told to keep their hands off, because I don't hear anybody from the board even speaking about it. Not
why
one.
Why would you keep your hands off? I mean, that's very interesting.
Because you're told to keep your hands off. You know, in Yonkers, you must know, you've been around here many years. In Yonkers, you're told what to do and you follow orders, or you lose your job or you lose your position. For a lot of people, sitting on the Board of Education, Board of Trustees, is a tremendous honor.
I would sit on it. Distinguished honor, absolutely.
Absolutely. So, you know, they don't want to lose that.
Yeah, but it's an honor that comes with responsibility and accountability.
But that was in the days when you were on that board. Today, it's different. Those people just sit there and waiting for the clock to tick by. They will eventually either go back to their, well, they are still at work because this is a voluntary job, and they will go back to focus on other things when they step down from that voluntary board, which is limited in for how long you could stay there. But the bottom line is that's part of their resume. It'll even be on their epitaph. What a wonderful thing to say. I was on the Board of Trustees of the Yonkers Board of Education, blah, blah, blah. And okay, great. What'd you do for it? Nobody asks that question.
Exactly. Were you proactive, reactive, or inactive?
Mostly inactive.
I thought you'd pick that one.
Well, you know what? Let's take a quick break, as we're about 10:30. Half-hour break. Let's find out. It's tonight at the Westchester Broadway Theater, the Simply Diamond tribute, which is so appropriate because of this crisis that occurred at the Boston Marathon, the bombing. And it was Neil Diamond that sang only a few days ago in Boston, the Sweet Caroline thing, and that'll be part of this Diamond tribute. So listen in for a moment, and then we'll be back with Mr. Narod.
His hits are truly timeless. His talent has captivated generations of music lovers around the world. He's the Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, Neil Diamond. And on Tuesday, April 23rd, you can experience all his look, sound, and unmistakable energy as the Westchester Broadway Theater presents Brian LeBlanc, starring in Simply Diamond. the ultimate Neil Diamond tribute show, recreating all his unforgettable hits like Sweet Caroline, I Am I Said, Cracklin' Rose, and so many more. 4 decades worth of unforgettable music. Paul Schaefer of Late Night with David Letterman says, Simply Diamond is the best Neil Diamond tribute show out there. Reaching out. And at the WBT, it's always more than just a show, it's an event. So before the concert, you'll enjoy a delicious served dinner with a choice of 6 entrees. Order tickets online at BroadwayTheater.com or call 914-592-2222. That's 914-592-2222. Enjoy the music and the magic of the one and only Neil Diamond with Brian LeBlanc starring in Simply Diamond. One night only, Tuesday, April 23rd at the Westchester Broadway Theater.
Well, welcome back. This is Westchester on the Level. My name is Hezzy Harris, our guest on Tuesday, and thank goodness for that because he adds not only intelligence but wit to the show.
Listen, am I your guest or your host? What exactly am I?
You're the co-host of the show.
I accept.
You're the witty one. You're the better-looking one. You're the one with the experience and the pedigree, the Yonkers pedigree.
Let's not get carried away. It's just a humble offering here.
Well, that's good. Well, that's why.
Thank you for your kind words. You're always most generous.
Well, that's why you're on such a lofty height, you know, where other people get nosebleeds. You're just like a regular guy.
You know what? It's being involved. It's paying attention to detail. It's having people's best interest at heart and looking at the overall picture and just laying it out. And seeing what's what, and being able to bring it to people's attention, and hopefully stay on course, and not have what the people's rights and benefits abused, used, or misused by anyone. It's like Yonkers is not here to be a horse ridden at some rodeo. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's not a plaything. It's not here to feed people and advance their careers and fatten their wallets. It's about people, community, taxpayers, the education of their children, the services they receive. And it's not a personal playground for anybody. It should never be that. So it's always about doing the right thing.
Well, it's so interesting because there. I think that's the sentiment that we can expect from almost most people. And you hear that being espoused everywhere, but somehow or another, at the end of the day, when you have conduct like this, which goes outside the norms of governance, outside the rights of the public to know, outside of standards and definitions in legislation that will protect the public good, we always seem to sell the concept first and tweak the legislation in order to conform to what we don't even know is the project, and then it's supposed to be okay. And then you hear things like, well, it's within the parameters of the law. Well, you didn't write the law because you didn't understand the concept, or you promoted it without...
We thought this was it, or they didn't explain it to us, and that person left, and we didn't know, and we didn't have time to look into it, and they rushed it, and we were told, and we were forced. See, I'm going to go back to that Pelosiism, that Nancy Pelosi statement, that famous statement, that Pelosiism, if you will, of, well, you have to pass it before you can know what's in it. Is this what we're working under at the Yonkers Board of Education, at the institution that educates people? Is this what our leadership tells us? We have to pass it. We have to keep it hidden from you. We have to get it all taken care of and spoon-feed it and then maybe force it down you at the end. But then later on you'll find out what's in it. Well, isn't that a brilliant way to operate? Now, you have to think, Hezzy, if you're the mayor of the city, if you're Mike Spano, if you're one of the 7 members of the city council, if you're one of the 4 members of the state delegation, assembly, and state senate, you have to scratch your head and say, and these people are coming to me and asking for a 20 or 30-year commitment of taxpayer money and asking us to get Albany to sign on or to get the residents of the taxpayers of the city of Yonkers to sign on and make this commitment, and we know absolutely squat about it or as much as they dribble out to us. And do we trust them to know what the heck they're talking about and what kind of deal they're making and who's making it, which raises all your issues? I'd say that's a Pelosian attitude of, just pass it, just do it, we'll find out later. When will shortly thereafter probably retire and get lost. And then if you're a politician and you don't plan to stay around too long, you run for another office or go off somewhere else, everyone else is left holding the bag, and everybody wants to know how this happened. Well, if I'm the mayor of the city of Yonkers, if I'm Mike Spano, who's already told us what's happened to our city and why we may be $500,000 in the hole with a gap ahead of us over these 4 years, don't you think at this point in time the light bulbs are all going off relative to this $2 billion project?
Well, you know, I didn't calculate the cost of what $2 billion would be. But is it even legal to create a $2 billion debt when the governor says he wants to keep our taxes within a top range of 2% as a cap? Now, and so we're going to go and spend $2 billion on the side. Is that legal? How much does that translate into taxes? You know, every $2.5 million deficit is a 1% increase in our cost of taxes. So how do we manage that? $2 billion, I don't even know what that translates. What is that, 1,000% increase in our taxes?
That's what happens. You get that speculation when they don't tell you anything and don't demonstrate how this is intended to work. Interesting.
I don't know. All I know is they got their claws into the city of Yonkers. They're ready to suck the life right out of the city, and they have the audacity to do that. In the meantime, what is it? Perazio's making, what, $350 million a year, including benefits? And he's got
$350 million. You're probably in the thousand category here.
$350,000. I'm sorry.
With benefits, I'm sure he's somewhere between $250,000 and $300,000 a year.
No, I heard it was more, but it's okay. You could be right. To me, $250,000 is too much, because I don't know what he's doing. You know, is he paying attention to education? He said he was, but he doesn't do it. He talks a nice game. He smiles very nice, but he's not sincere. He doesn't deliver. If Lincoln High School, for example, is one of the best schools in the country, I think it's number 25 or 40 on the list of all the schools.
That's Yonkers High School.
Okay, sorry, Yonkers High School. If that
Yonkers
is
Middle High School, yes.
Okay, if that's such a great school, how come in all the years that it's been so high up, he's not been able to distill the essence, the goodness of that school and the way it operates, and translate it to all the others?
It's a specialty program in the school. That's the International Baccalaureate Program, which is a multi-year, multi-tiered type of program that takes specific and special training above and beyond for the teachers who are in the school and in the program. Which is why it took a number of years to get going in Yonkers, but nevertheless it did. And once it did, it was kept on track with hands-on and developed into what it is today, for which they all take credit for, which most of them either had nothing to do with or objected to begin with and were not supportive of.
Well,
how interesting.
Fazio wasn't supportive of it, and he didn't promote it, and he just grated at it. So he wasn't part of that team.
Now they tout it as, you know, the politicians tout it as if they were part and did something. People weren't even there at the time or may have been so distanced. But the fact of the matter is, yes, success has many, many, many fathers, as they say, and failures an orphan. But the fact of the matter is, this is what they tout, and rightly so, because it's an excellent program. It's an international program. But what have they done at the other schools?
Not very much, evidently.
You're right.
I don't
Lincoln,
know what we're trying to do.
Riverside, Roosevelt, if they change its name one more time, they'll eventually get back to its original name.
That's funny. That's very good.
But they do. Oh, we're having a problem? Change the name.
Yeah.
The
beauty of changing the name is that all the records of the past are expunged with the old name, and you begin fresh. So there's no
history. Divert people's attention from you know, what the problems were so that the problems can continue on under another name and take another 10 years to blossom out until you change the name again.
Well, you know, again, we talk about so many issues. The frustration in this city, which always has good concepts that are not well carried out, or they're not carried out to the benefit of the public. It's not that they're all bad. It's just that they're not cut out in a way so that they serve the public good. They serve individual agenda. They'll serve the employment pipeline for a Mr. Brigido or a Mr. Perazio into the future. They have no right to that. And that's
well, they don't have it because they don't have the financial wherewithal. And because they don't, isn't it amazing that the people who they should have been talking with since the beginning, laying out this to see what kind of support they may get and how, you know, these other individuals could contribute, but are the people who actually have their hands on the money faucet, if you will, the state delegation, as you said, assembly and senators, the city council, the mayor, know little, if anything, about this. It's just amazing to think there's no clue other than they're doing something over at the board, and it sounds like a PPP. I hope they don't think it's running down their leg when they talk about it, but this is the bottom line.
Well, that to me, this is so big and so vast. I don't know if people will be able to wrap their head around it. It took me a long time to figure out what it was. You know, the question becomes, will the city council membership, do they have the wherewithal to figure out what's what? They got bamboozled when the mayor, the former mayor, demanded they pay his personal debt, and they exonerated him with all the lawyers that were there. All the lawyers on the city council, a Democratic representative of the council, a Republican representative for the council, a minority leader who was a lawyer, the city council president who was a lawyer. Where did all that brain trust go that we don't have anybody capable of defining what's being said to them? Where's the comprehension quotient? What's going on? I just don't understand anymore.
Loaded questions, especially when you use terms like brain trust.
Oh, this is turning out to be like a comedic routine.
You know, you have to laugh, otherwise you'd cry. And sometimes through humor we can get our message across. But it's just unbelievable. You know, this is, as they say, not brain surgery in the sense of just looking at what's in front of you and asking normal questions, putting them on the level of the man in the street, if you will, of the household, and say, would you operate like this?
Mm.
Would you operate like this? You know, it's like, I guess what? If you subsidize a member of your family somehow, and, you know, they're independent people, but, you know, they kind of depend on you for the financial stream, and all of a sudden they're into some big deal that they found, if you will, and
yeah.
And you're the one looking and saying, well, whoever it is, whatever the member of the family is, say, well, what is this about? Wow, I'll let you know, Les. This is going to be a big thing, but it's going to cost you thousands upon thousands of dollars, but it's going to be great. Well, let me know about it. Well, I'll let you know. We'll let you know. Don't worry about it. Can you imagine sitting in your home going, the family member I want to lend money to wants to do something that's going to cost me a tremendous amount of money, and I already know their record, and they won't tell me what the heck it is they're doing? Come on,
yeah.
Wake up.
It's such a big problem because I don't know how they're going to ram it through. I don't know how they're going to ram it through the Yonkers City Council.
They can't do anything without the state delegation in the city of Yonkers. So if they're not talking to the state delegation, and there's only four, so you can talk to all four of them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not talking to the Yonkers City Council and the mayor, and there's only seven with the mayor is eight, so what's it, 12 people? You can't get them in a room and explain, and if those elected people can't get any information from the Board of Ed, I'd say, see you, have a nice day. Don't bother me.
Well, isn't that the response we're going to get from upstate, from Albany? You know, I'm still in shock. You know, I have great respect for the Senator Greg Ball. But why is he even considering, well, he's so desperate for legislation, he'll do practically anything to get so he could sign his name to it. But the point is, why is he presiding over legislation that would impact the Yonkers school system when he has nothing like it up there in his district, and yet it is the number one plan like that in the country?
We could speculate here too, Hezzy, and say one of two things. A, it's a cover for the Yonkers delegation, or / a favor for the Yonkers delegation, because Andrea Stewart Cousins, who's is the minority leader of the state Senate, even though the Democrats are in the majority, but they have the independent coalition, right, cannot get anything done. Ball, mm-hmm, who represents, you know, part of Westchester and Dutchess and so forth, is the one who has influence in the Senate and can get it through the Republican / independent Democratic Conference state Senate. So let's look at it for its practicality. But then again,
mm-hmm,
well, you know,
I'm glad you pointed out, because I didn't see that.
So you really wonder what the deal is here.
Well, you know, all I know is that there was a PBS show talking about public-private partnership, but for infrastructure, specifically that of the city of Chicago.
Yes.
Rahm Emanuel, who at one time was the I don't remember actually his role at with the Obama administration. He was the speaker.
He was chief of staff to the president.
Yes, chief of staff. You're right. Forgive me. So he eventually moved away from the Obama administration to run for mayor of the city of Chicago, which he did, and he won. And one of the first projects he got involved in was the public-private partnership worth $7 billion for
roads and other things.
Okay, new infrastructure.
Yes.
Pipes, electricity, types of things. And when
go ahead.
When they asked him why he went with the public-private partnership, he said it was a leap of faith. He had no clue. And
right,
this guy is really switched on.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't know.
And many people complained and are still complaining, and they're tied into something that is going to cost them a small fortune. They want to say they're taking care of something. They don't have their own government people do it. And they farm it out to the private sector, and I can't tell you the money that must be flowing back and forth.
Amazing. You know, and who better than Chicago?
And who better than Chicago? You got it.
Well, you know, so hopefully they're not gonna tow us into that maelstrom of agony and burden, financial burden into the future, because they're going to look at Chicago as the place to start this off. And it is,
well, you know, there's another guy who's famous for never let a crisis go to waste. So we have an Emanuelism and a Pelosiism.
Absolutely.
It gets amazing.
I hope people are not deterred from your definition, this Pelosiism, because they're going to side with a Democrat or side with a Republican. This is not a Republican or Democratic issue. This
Absolutely.
Is an issue of finance. It's
Absolutely,
an
and thank you for clarifying and emphasizing what we're talking about here. Absolutely, it's not a personal issue or a Democrat-Republican issue.
No.
It's the people who say these dopey things.
Well, that's exactly right. And again,
there's more picking on the tree of stupidity than there is on the tree of smart.
Oh, well, I've been picking from the tree of stupidity for a long time.
Where most of the coconuts are, so watch out you don't get hit when you walk beneath them.
Well, I don't know. So what else do you think is important that we haven't mentioned, or that maybe we should just go on for some other issues? What do you think?
Oh, in the remaining 10 minutes or so?
Yeah.
Oh, you think we've exhausted our public-private partnership, and are we hoping that there'll be some response from our elected officials?
Well, I certainly do hope that there will be. I know that there was a tremendous concern about we were good about this. We didn't hide anything. we contacted the mayor. We contacted the chief of staff, the mayor's chief of staff. We contacted some members of the Board of Education, Board of Trustees. We contacted some members of the Albany delegation to ask them, hey, are you aware that the McCary Group is the number one group that's already been thought of and being promoted by the Board of Education amongst themselves? And nobody knew. I know that it's led to ancillary calls to other people, and I've been asked to call to find out a little bit more from other people, but haven't gotten in touch with them yet. I gave a certain group of people a call this morning, so I'll try to reach them after 12 o'clock today. But
you know, among other things, when they come in with a firm like this, international in scope, which people generally don't have any knowledge of and have to check it out. But it's like, oh well, you know, they're around the world. They're the biggest. That's what they sell. They sell you the sugar. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's it. No particulars. Just you're not even supposed to question this or ask anything that might be relevant to the project, because these are just as global initiatives almost. It's amazing. Don't question it. We brought this to you, and that's where we begin to have our troubles. You know, just think back to Chicken Island.
Yeah.
Just think back to Phil Amaconi's stadium project, the baseball stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Does that ring any bells here? You know? Some of these same people, you know, he's appointed to the board of ed, so. Hello?
That tells me a lot of bad things. I'm starting to feel that even though I personally wouldn't want any new administration to have control of everything, and one would hope that past administrations would have logic and value to the concepts that they put forward on whatever board they sit. I'm starting to think, hey, we don't have a loyal opposition. They're not there for Yonkers. They're there for their own party. They're there for the boss. You know, I can't stand it. It doesn't work. Would England become a country of such great strength for so many years if they didn't have a loyal opposition? Their loyalty is to the country. And here we don't have much loyalty to the city of Yonkers. Everybody's using it as a stepping stone somewhere.
They forget that when they're appointed by the mayor, whoever the mayor may be at the time, that he's appointed him or her to serve on whatever board or commission on the basis of their integrity and their knowledge and their experience and their dedication and their concern. And then they go off on their own to do the right thing. They're not an employee of the appointing authority, in this case the mayor, the executive branch. People don't get it. And if they don't get it, that's when we get it, if you know what I mean.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
And that's the sorry part. Like people who become trustees of the Board of Education who don't understand that they don't work for the superintendent. The superintendent is an employee who works for them.
Mm.
And that's where the problems begin.
Well, we have that same problem with the Yonkers City Council. Do you know, no matter what city council is sitting there, when you ask them what your responsibility is, well, I'm here, you'll hear people say, I'm here to help the mayor get what he wants done.
Really? Oh, God.
That's
wrong.
What I'm saying to you.
Wrong, wrong, wrong.
Well, you know, their job is to represent the 35,000 people in their district, and that's who they're supposed to give voice to. At the
Look,
same
we time, all know there's no intelligence test for office.
Why not? I think this is a civil service test begging to be made. And hopefully not dumbed down either, like they so often do, to pass their crony friends up the ladder. So, you know, it's just crazy stuff. But, you know, somehow or another, I think that after all this past year of trial balloons without any figures to substantiate this concept for Yonkers, without showing the cost of building it out, without specifying the schools that they want fixed by this project. And that's what's so interesting, too. You know, they claim they claim that they don't know, but they do know, and that's the thing in this document. I quickly looked it over because I didn't want to become immersed in their facts, quote, end quote, but because I don't even know if they are facts. Yeah, but here it is. They selected the schools on page 7. Selected schools for the initial phase for further analysis. The DiChiaro school? School
DiChiaro. Charo, yeah. That's the DiChiaro school, formerly School 8, out in East Yonkers, yes.
And School 21?
Uh-huh, School 21, off of McLean Avenue.
And the Gibran.
Lee Avenue it's on, actually.
Yeah, and the Gibran school?
Gibran.
Gibran?
Northeast, yeah, Northeast Yonkers.
Martin Luther King Jr. School?
Okay, off of Locust Hill, North Broadway. Mm-hmm.
And then the Riverside Museum 25 School?
Which is one of the more recent buildings, by the way.
Absolutely. And Gorton High School?
Gorton has been a problematic building for years now. If any building stands out, it's certainly Gorton.
Yeah.
Have they indicated what they would like to do or just do further study?
No, they're just going to further study. But these are their selected schools for initial phase. For further analysis is the way they write it up.
Analysis. Well, I mean, these are issues that have to be addressed. There are building concerns. And, you know, what is fact is fact, and what's legitimate is legitimate. We're talking about...
I got to tell you this. They point out the costs here, and then one of the issues that they bring up is, are you sitting down? 35 years of operations, maintenance, and life cycle expenditures. But it'll take us, you and I both know, almost that many years to pay this stuff off. So what do we
life
have at
life cycle expenditures.
Years?
Wow. That's an interesting term, isn't it? Life cycle expenditures.
I guess
sounds like, you know, without the I, it sounds like an acronym, like lice.
Absolutely. But what's interesting, too, is that means maybe our student population will be in these schools for 35 years before they graduate as well. That's the life cycle.
I tell you, let's fatten those cows before we take them to market, huh?
I think so. I think that would be nice. That would be good.
There'd be some milking here.
Well, that's going to be cool. Very, very cool. Well,
I hope this conversation causes people to think hard about this and start to ask some questions, particularly those in elected office who will be responsible and close to the issue and may or may not know about it, certainly not enough about it, and who should begin to delve into this very seriously and get answers. And get
from your mouth to God's ears. What do you think? From your mouth to God's
ears? I tell
you,
sometimes you need a sigh of relief.
Well, it usually comes around 11 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday.
Yes, it does. And in less than 2 minutes, I'm going to sigh that sigh of relief.
Absolutely. So have you spoken to Adelma and Jamie from
as recently as yesterday, and they send their regards. They're busy themselves and in their personal and business matters, but they do pay attention and listen in to us, and they send their regards. She's, of course, the president of our fan club, and a wonderful president she is.
Yeah, absolutely. It's you know, she gets it all done. I don't know how she does it.
We never had one complaint. God bless her. Takes care of everyone. Everything's done right.
Absolutely. You know,
she's got her act together. That's what we like.
Maybe she's, you know, you think she might be considering maybe a position as the Board of Education Board of Trustee President, or maybe someone as high up as, I don't know, the Superintendent of Schools. She's young.
She's got more heavier management questions that she deals with at the moment. You know, she can probably give some instruction, but we won't go there right now.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that, Mr. Narong. You just enjoy the day. And thank you.
Aris, thank you again for a hour. And I, as always, thank our listeners for taking the time live or again my archive to listen to the show and hear what we have to say and what our thoughts are and what our insight is and what investigations we make. And we try to educate and have people think for themselves, make their own decisions, talk up issues, find out what's going on. It's so hard to get the correct information these days, the right information, sometimes any information, as we well know. And this is from the very people who work for us by virtue of we electing them and all of a sudden thinking it's their kingdom. So to those in the kingdom, to all us serfs out there on the land, and to those in the feudal manor, our ladders are almost ready and we're heading for the wall. So if I were you, I wouldn't have too much of a ball.
Exactly. That's perfect. You know, I could see that image in my mind.
I tell you, they know it and I don't know it. And on that note, I will leave you to a great day and enjoy the rest of the hour in the show, Hezzy, and all of you out there. Thanks for listening once again.
Take care. Thanks, Mr. Narog. Appreciate
bye-bye,
it.
Bye-bye, sir. Bye-bye.
Well, there you have it. The co-host of the show makes us all look good every Tuesday, or almost every Tuesday. And so I'm always very thankful, and thankful for you, our listeners, who just listen in and always talk, you know, after the show amongst ourselves, which is really what it's all about, because it's all about you and nothing more. So, but in case you want to give us a call, in case you want to join the conversation, we're going to expand it now beyond this particular issue, but it's still on the table. 347 is the area code to dial. It's a local number, 347-205-9201. And again, 347-205-9201. I'm going to play a commercial from the Westchester Broadway Theater for what's playing now all the way through July 9th. So if you can't make tonight's special Diamond tribute, of course, you can plan into the future. So listen in. This is the Guys and Dolls program till July 9th.
Luck be a lady tonight.
One of Broadway's most high-spirited luck musicals ever is on stage tonight. Now at the Westchester Broadway Theater through June 9th. The Tony Award winner for Best Musical of the Year, Guys and Dolls.
Luck be a lady tonight. Call it that. Call
it's one of the liveliest, funniest, most colorful collection of Broadway characters you'll ever see. The larger-than-life world of Damon Runyon's New York City, where the gamblers, the showgirls, the coppers, and the missionary workers all collide with hilarious and unexpected results. And the wonderful sing-along score includes some of Broadway's most memorable hits, like A Bushel and a Peck, If I Were a Bell, Sit Down, You're Rockin' the Boat, and Luck Be a Lady. And remember, your tickets include a delicious served dinner before the show with a choice of six entrees, and all for one low price. Order tickets online at BroadwayTheater.com or call 914-592-2222. That's 914-592-2222. Don't miss this bold and brassy Broadway classic, Guys and Dolls. On stage now through June 9th, only at the Westchester Broadway Theater.
Well, we are back. This is Westchester on the Level. And we're going to cover a couple of other issues. All that happened overnight, practically. And have one major correction. So before we begin anything else, let's make a correction, because hey, that's what it's all about. It's all about the truth and not hiding any of it either. So let me just quickly go back here to cover this, make sure that it's taken. Evidently it has. Well, the most important thing is one of the stories that we wrote up last night at the www.yonkerstribune.com, or just simply go to yonkerstribune.com, was a breaking news exclusive where we made one error. And it's an important error that needs to be corrected. And that was with regard to the Yonker City Councilman Chris Johnson's driver's license being revoked. Haven't learned what the reason was for the revocation of his driver's license, but it evidently was revoked. And, you know, it is what it is. Somebody also took offense that I said that he was rotund, or that, you know, we're talking about he was a little bit bigger than he should be. But then again, so am I. I called him rotund rather than calling him fat. I'm fat, he's rotund, whatever. The point is, that's not the issue. His driver's license was revoked. Like everything else, these people serve our city. They serve the people. This man doesn't have the intellect even to understand and comprehend high-end finance, much less the economy of the city, much less economic development issues, and yet he thinks he stands there in the forefront talking behind closed doors and working out a deal for none other than, are you sitting down for this, the Trevor Park development section, which the people in the community are not fully aware of. Supposedly, Mr. Johnson, the first district councilman, is in his district is also the atrocity that continues year in and year out by Dr. Reverend Bostic, Jim Bostic, who is the executive director of the Nepperhan Community Center, and Mr. Johnson doesn't have a clue of what's going on. Well, isn't that special? Well, what the hell does he know? Why did he ever run for office if he doesn't know? Did he really know the neighborhood, or what did he run on? The fact that he lived in the Bronx and moved up to Yonkers at the last moment to validate the fact that he was here? He lied about his whereabouts when he ran for office. Now he's in office, and he's allowed to continue. He's a bully in the office. There are complaints against him by the first aide. There were complaints made by his second aide. Evidently, his second aide is better able to manage his rants all over the place. He hasn't learned to be civil. And then he thinks by making believe and smiling and running away and is going to make him engendered by his community. Oh, stop the CRAP. It's over. It's done. He's a mess. And you know what? And nobody's demanding that he fix it. And the point is, you will see the Glenwood Power Station, Trevor Park fiasco, however it is, however it was redesigned. It was all designed by the developer. No input from the public whatsoever, and the public will pay for it. And you can thank this idiot, this idiot, who is at the head of this, who doesn't seem to know anything, and everything is being kept quiet about him. What a shame. What a shame that this man is an embarrassment to the First District, and he's an embarrassment for sitting on the city council. Hey, that's my opinion. But getting back to the mea culpa, and this is what's important, the bottom line is Mr. Johnson is not Senator Andrea Stewart's cousin's driver. I thought he was. He may have been in the past, but it doesn't matter. We're not looking in the past. We're looking at the present. At present, he is not the driver for the senator. Thank God for that, because I expect the Senate conference leader to have a driver. And thank God it's not wayward, Mr. Johnson. Oh, I tell you, where do we get these people? How can we get such riffraff to represent the people of Yonkers? We deserve better. What's wrong with the system here? Is it the electorate that doesn't have a clue? No, it's not the electorate. Stop blaming the electorate. That's what media would like to cast the electorate dumb and stupid. No, they're not. The ones that don't show up to vote know the score better than ones that even go to vote. The ones that go to vote feel that they have to do it. But they don't have a choice, do they? Where is the choice? You talk about calling somebody rotund. Look at the lies and the deception and the deceit and the BS that came out in the First District last time they ran for office. What lies from everywhere. And nobody said a word because everybody's afraid of washing their laundry in public. It's time we started washing. Maybe that's the problem. It stinks to high heaven because no one's done the washing. I tell you, it's just too much. Just too much, folks. All right, so let's just see while we're talking here. Okay, some new news. Senator Latimer is reaffirming his opposition to the Wakefield homeless shelter. And it seemed that last week, New York State Senator Latimer was the guest speaker at the Hyatt Association meeting where he took questions on state and local issues. It's so interesting how the Hyatt Association, another neighborhood association, they always have something to hide, as if Their whole world is just that district. But you know what? They have no right to just do this. It's nice that they have it. Where's the coverage? There is no coverage because nobody knows. And they pick and choose who they want to cover these events. But the bottom line is, what happens in the 4th District matters to other districts. So Mr. Shepard, who happens to be the councilman there, you know, he's making a big mistake, but it's worked for him, right? Because that's how it's always worked in Yonkers. Hide everything. Make sure that you can drum up all the support you need from that district as if nobody else really matters. Isn't that interesting? That's part of lack of loyalty for a city. It's only for that specific district. How disgusting. Really, how bad does it have to get? And then when are they going to cry bloody murder? They always do because they don't get their way. Then they feel that they can ratchet it up and go a little higher. That's really sweet. And the Hyatt Association, as exemplary as they may be in the past, like to hide it all. Well, isn't that special? It's all so wonderful. Who knows? Maybe Senator Latimer will get caught up in this BS, and he'll be the one that's hidden at these stupid meetings. And they are stupid. They're stupid because they don't talk to all the city. The city needs to know. The city needs to know that there was a homeless shelter. Guess who reported that when it came out? None other than the Yonkers Tribune. We broke the story. Nobody else wanted to touch it. And we broke the story when Borough President Ruben Diaz wanted to promote it. Oh, well, actually, he at one time opposed it with Assemblyman Dinowitz. But bottom line is, nobody wanted to talk about it. So look it up in the Yonkers Tribune. There's also a link to the article that we wrote a long time ago where Mayor Amicone maintained his silence over the men's shelter to be built near McLean Avenue. And that's something that we wrote a while back. So you'll get a sense of how this thing has transformed and how it's evolved to where it is today. But again, unsuccessful. You know why they were unsuccessful at the 4th District? Almost a year ago was because they didn't incorporate the mayor, because the mayor was not on their side, because they kept quiet. Whereas in New York City, the mayor of New York, Bloomberg, whether you agree with him or not, he was aware. He was willing to speak out because he wasn't going to play these silly little games. What was he going to do? Have the community association from East 233rd Street in the Bronx promote this particular item? He believed that he wanted it done, so he said so. But our mayor at that time, Phil Amicone, didn't have what it takes to represent the city, and who knows, maybe that was at the behest of that august Hyatt Association. Well, isn't that special? I tell you, the games these people play is just getting sickening, but that's okay. We see we had more to do with stopping it at that time because we gave notice to it than those idiots at the Hyatt Association still worry about. Let's see, who should we invite? Who should we tell that this is going on? So naturally, they told no one and nobody reported it. Unbelievable. It just keeps on giving, as they say. All right, so that's the story with Mr. Latimer, the senator. Oh, and this you're going to just happen to love. This is phenomenal stuff. Oh, let me just quickly look. There was a comment here. Yeah, that's all these comments. It's so funny. People question why I use the term rotund, and they thought that was a snide remark. What about the snide conduct of this the council member? Does anyone care? No, he just likes, you want to dress him up with a cupcake maybe? Will that make it look better for him? Well, so in other words, pass all the legislation, whether it's of value to you or not, whether you can afford these developments or not, whether they abide by the bequeath the Trevor Park being bequeathed to the city. How are you going to deal with that? And Mr. What's his face? Mr. Johnson. Oh, he's already trading property to abate the taking of one property that's parkland and moving it to another place. Why doesn't the public have a right to hear about it, to speak about it? Who is Mr. Johnson to represent the city when he sits there with Ron Shemish and Corporation Council? Who's representing the public trust? Tell me. Just tell me who it is. I'd love to find out about it, because I don't think any of them do. Just amazing. What an atrocity. It keeps on going and keeps on going. I can't blame Corporation Council, but I could certainly blame Mr. Councilman, you know, this wonderful Mr. Johnson, who's unaware. He's unaware of his conduct of bullying people in his office. He's unaware of the fact that the Nepahan Community Center, funded by the city of Yonkers to the tune of over $1 million, does nothing for the community and the people for which the funds are given, where computers that are supposed to be there are gone. Where are the iPads that were supposed to be there? What happened to them? What about the computer software that makes it possible for the Nepahan Community Center to be functioning? Even the Reverend Dr. Mr. Bostic, who doesn't want to pay the people who actually engage in teaching, who's keeping the money? Where did the money go? How come he's permitted to give no-show jobs? Who's going to look into it? When are they going to look into it? When are they going to throw that bum into prison if that's the case? Who is he to be stealing money? Why doesn't he have enough money to pay the people he employed? If he doesn't have the money to employ them, then why does he say, sorry, got to fire you? Where's the money anyway? This is outrageous what's going on here. This is total corruption. And he's permitted to do that. Why? Because he's a reverend? Because he's over 6 foot tall? What is it? What is it about him that allows him to slide through this thing as if nothing happened? And what is it about Christopher Johnson, the representative of the first district, to make him unaware of what's going on in his district? It's one of the most important districts in the city, specifically the Nepahan Community Center. It's like a focal point. There are troubles there. And the point is, why doesn't he know what Mr. the Reverend Doctor Bostic is engaged in? Why doesn't he know? It's like, what the hell is happening here? So we'll see. Just see. We'll wait to see what the city of Yonkers does with regard to this sort of conduct, and when they're going to pay. When is Mr. Bostic going to pay the monies due for services rendered to the people who teach the population there after hours? They're engaged. Not a word from anybody. Not a word from the school. Not a word from the teachers. Not a word from Mr. Parazio. Not a word from anybody. Nobody seems to know. Isn't that special? So they'll all be hiding under their tent in the hope that nobody will see them. All right, let's see what else is going on. Okay, let's see now. We got this other situation. It seems that Chuck Lesnik, the Yonkers City Council president, he's squandering ethics, or what he should know to be ethical or not ethical, for job opportunity. Is that special or what? So let's hear what he's done. Politicians have traded and bartered favor among one another for gain for years. Wednesday, April 24th, 2013, is the venue for an upcoming intrigue. The sleight of hand is supposed to be quick, so quick, in fact, that none is supposed to know what is up. No such luck with the Yonkers Tribune prowling in the corridors of intrigue and voyeuristically opening the doors to the political orgy consummated within that back room. Now, who do we find? Femme fatale Congresswoman Nita Lowey and term-limited Yonkers City Council President Chuck Lesnik. And what are they engaged in? They're engaged in this ploy. It seems that Nita Lowey wants Noam Bramson, the mayor of the city of New Rochelle, to win the first round in the contested representation of a candidate for county executive office. So the person that will be challenging Rob Astorino, who will be running most likely on the Republican side, hopes to get the conservative side and any other lines as much as possible, he will be standing in as the incumbent against all comers. And the ones that are top of the list are, of course, Mayor Noam Bramson of New Rochelle, Westchester County Board Legislator Chairman Ken Jenkins, and, of course, Bill Ryan, who is a Westchester County legislator. And there's a question of who's in the lead, whether it be Mr. Jenkins or Mr. Bramson. No one really knows for sure. Mr. Ryan could be the tiebreaker here, but just to try to do Nita Lowey's request to meet her demands, because Nita Lowey happens to love Noam Bramson and happens to love Chuck Lesnick. These are the people that worked for her. In fact, Noam Bramson actually works for her as the as her ghostwriter, and she pays the mayor money to be her ghostwriter. I think that puts Noam Bramson in a position of conflict. Anyway, it turns out that Chuck Lesnick, the Yonkers City Council president, he's term limited out, and he's got nowhere to go. So he's going to try to promote a win for Noam Bramson so that Noam Bramson wins the 50% plus one in order to avoid a second runoff. And for doing that, for delivering that 50% plus one in the first vote for Mr. Bramson, Nita Lowey is expected to give Chuck Lesnick a job. Isn't that interesting? Horse trading. Horse trading. Who would have thunk that we would have had to learn about animal husbandry when it comes to political office? The thing that's also a little bit disgusting about all this is the Jewish-Black divide, which is only going to be embarrassing and denigrating and bigoted in its demeanor and its intent. And the fact that Chuck Lesnick is unaware of it or wants to sideline that aspect of the raw nerves that are exposed by this sort of behavior is just a little bit too much to bear. So we'll see. Anyway, good luck to Chuck. Good luck to Noam. Good luck to Nita Lowey. Good luck to Bill Ryan. We'll see what happens there. But it's just pathetic. All right, let's see if there are any comments here. Oh, Nita Lowey is a sneak, some commenter says. She takes support from ethnic people but backs Jewish over non-Jewish candidates. See, already this whole ethnic issue comes up. She does it on the sly, thinking that no one will figure it out. But it is rather obvious. She even crossed party lines and supported Mike Bloomberg in the last election. How is that possible? Arrogance is the term that they use. I tell you, this just doesn't quit on every level, on every level. Okay, so let's see what else is here. Yes, this is another breaking story. It all came out yesterday. You would have think I would have had a little bit of a break. But no. Okay, so we posted this article too. It seemed that the Westchester County District Attorney, Janet DeFiore, has resigned her position as chair of JCOPE. And this is the Joint Commission on Public Ethics and JCOPE. And the governor had announced that the successor to Janet DeFiore is a New York City attorney who presently is on that board of 14 members of JCOPE. His name is Daniel Horwitz, H-O-R-W-I-T-Z. He's been on that board, and he will succeed her. And then there was a suggestion by other media that the reason she is I guess stepping down from her role as chair was to devote more time to her reelection effort for another term. And that sounds really weird. Why would she take on a position? She knew she was running for reelection, and now they want to make believe that she just can't do both. Well, okay, that's fine. You know, but she should have known that when she accepted it, but she decided to accept it. But I'm telling you, folks, that that is simply a ruse. She is not going to. She had a quiet little private fundraising effort a few days ago, only a select group of people, very elite supporters, blah, blah, blah. And so she raised a couple of bucks, and whatever that amount was, I don't know, they didn't call me. But the bottom line is that she's got troubles, and those troubles, and this was a propitious moment for her to step down and make believe she's really going to be doing a bang-up effort for re-election, and maybe she will. But it doesn't look like it really is the case. But it seems that despite the fact that there's a comment there that don't believe that this is true, the allegation is that there was a woman who worked as a nanny for the DeFiore and her husband in their home, and that they didn't pay taxes based on the amount of money that they paid this person, and also that allegations that this woman was entitled to benefits, and even though she was turned down three times by the time that allegedly Janet DeFiore had presented her nanny's case to one of the commissioners, in fact, of social services, Kevin McGuire, to take a fourth look into it. The bottom line is, there was an allegation made by Dialma Vasquez, a county anti-fraud investigator, which evidently ticked off DeFiore, who said that Ms. Vasquez had an axe to grind, whatever the case is. But we understand that the Federal Bureau is investigating this issue. And despite the fact that some people say, no, you got it all wrong, we're staying by our story. It's unrelated to anybody else. I've got no axe to grind with the district attorney whatsoever. So someone immediately writes, let's see, Ms. DeFiore is assuredly not under federal investigation. And in fact, the only issue is whether or not the maid was entitled to receive benefits. And the answer to that question is yes. So whether or not DeFiore called anyone is irrelevant. What is more relevant is the fact that the maid's private information was leaked by someone working in the Department of Social Services, which is clearly a violation of ethics. And if that's the case, then it should be brought up. But we believe, and it's not most assured, that the federal investigation is not taking place. Well, we won't know until much later, so we'll see what happens. And then, you know, it goes on where Janet DeFiore is probably the best DA that Westchester has ever had. And then another says, I'm ashamed that I ever spoke poorly of Janet DeFiore. Another one says, sounds like Sammy Boy, meaning Sammy Zirko, who's got a bug up as you know what in trying to do something with Janet DeFiore, is trying to discredit our DA once again. So, you know, these are the issues. These are the issues. So we'll find out eventually. You know, it all comes out in the wash, as they say. All right. So let's see. Seemed like a lot of stories were going on yesterday. So, see, it's about 11:30. Let's find out what else is happening. And specifically at the Westchester Broadway Theater, it's their special cast of Beatlemania. I plan for it now.
Can't buy me love.
Here's your chance to spend a memorable Hard Day's Night at the Westchester Broadway Theater with those famous four lads from Liverpool as we welcome back the cast of Beatlemania on Tuesday, May 7th. with members of the original Broadway production, the cast of Beatlemania uncannily recreate the complete experience of Britain's Fab Four, from the Lennon-McCartney harmonies to the unmistakable George Harrison guitar licks, and all done so accurately that they're sure to delight any true Beatles fan. And as always, your evening starts with a delicious dinner served right at your table with six entrees to choose from. And then, the cast of Beatlemania will take you on a magical mystery tour all the way from Liverpool to Abbey Road. Order your ticket to ride online at BroadwayTheater.com or call 914-592-2222. That's 914-592-2222. Come relive the Fab Four phenomenon with the cast of Beatlemania. One night only, Tuesday, May 7th, and only at the Westchester Broadway Theater.
Well, we are back. This is Westchester on the Level. My name is Hezzy Harris, and we're continuing our introspection to what's going on. If you want to give us a call, you can give us a call at 347-205-9201, 347-205-9201. Well, one of the big issues, of course, is, and this may have already been spoken about this morning from Canada, is the foiled Canadian terrorist plot, which shows the continuing threats from Al-Qaeda and Iran. And the plot was announced by Canadian officials yesterday, exposing that there was a plan to derail a passenger train reportedly running between Toronto and New York, which highlights the determination of Al-Qaeda to commit acts of terrorism in the West, and confirms also suspicions about Iranian links to Al-Qaeda. It's not the first attempted terrorist attack by Al-Qaeda in Canada. It illustrates that the United States is not the only it's not the only target for violence by radical Islamist groups. Now, also, the Tsarnaev brothers, these are native Chechens. They spent years in America before carrying out last week's bloody attack in Boston. But their early lives in southern Russia were part of a larger mosaic of a region gripped for centuries by violence and rebellion against authority. And Chechens have struggled for much of the past two centuries to free themselves of Russian rule, in the process engaged in bloody wars and countless acts of terrorism. And that's one of the issues that certainly needs to be further studied, and by the U.S. And I guess Americans will become more and more impressed as they find that these sort of behavior patterns are going to be further and further exposed. Unfortunately, we don't have much time. We don't have much time to continue, looking into some of these situations, and it's a constant study. It's a constant study, and it was a constant study to keep going on and to learn what's happening in the region. And it's important for people to be aware of what's happening in the region and how it affects us, which is really, really quite exciting. So let me just see what else is happening here. Oh, there's so much stuff going on in the Middle East that it does affect everything as well here. Okay. Well, it's interesting. There was another earthquake just southeast of Tehran, as you well know. That happened on the 18th, a few days ago. But so we'll see what's happening there. We'll see what the outcome is there. Also, there are allegations being made from Israeli sources claiming, for example, that the Iranians are much closer to having an atom bomb. And how that will relate into thinking about all these issues, I'm not sure. So we'll have to see what's happening there. Closer to home, there's a group of people who want to get involved in building a school in Southwest Yonkers. Evidently, this is the School 19 project. And they were hoping they proposed acquiring the property and to launch a capital campaign to raise state, federal, and private money. Supposedly, they claimed this would have been at no cost to the city. They wanted to transform the situation. But evidently, you know, these are not situations that have come about because the city, even though they had initially promised them that they would be of interest in this, have decided not really to promote it. And even the Board of Education, we've heard quietly, has decided that it's not to their benefit to have a group which has no funding, and they feel it's just like a stab in the dark. You know, it's conceivable they could get funding, but it's also conceivable they may not get funding, and they want the assurance. They want the assurance that this will be able to go through, and there's something to be said about that. At the same time, you know, again, a lot of this stuff is, you know, people get caught up in the promises of their elected officials telling them one thing, but in reality, there is no commitment. And the commitment of someone saying, hey, I'm going to support you in something, should be an actual letter that they put on record. And there should be an announcement. But, you know, everybody wants to keep things quiet, thinking that it will be to their benefit. And unfortunately, it's not to anybody's benefit. And it's important to reach out to the public. It's important to reach out to media. And it's important to get it all done and to put officials on record of either supporting this stuff or not. And while there are some people who still support the project with these people, others have already pulled away. And it really is a shame. It's a shame of the duplicity and the lack of interest to get these things done in a way that is a little bit more inclusive. And there's nothing wrong. There's really nothing wrong, I think, considering we've given, you know, like people like the Capellis, 10 years to get their act together, actually more like 12 years to get their act together since they thought about the project. They haven't done anything. Yonkers shouldn't have to be on the in a situation where it always has to wait and give people extra time for this and extra time for that, and memorandums of understanding and blah, 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 blah. You know, over a month ago, I was promised that we would get an answer from who else but Peter Klein to tell us what they were going to do, what sort of project that they were going to come up with for the SFC project, which would have been a smaller imprint than the initial. Point is, they're not ready. They'll never be ready, folks. They will never be ready. And yet, at the same time, we're on the hook. We're on the hook because legally our corporation council can't figure out if the project of master developer has expired in February, which I believe it did, whereas others are claiming it has expired in September. And the point is, put up or shut up. You either have the money to move forward, you either have a plan to move forward, and if you don't, you just don't. And there's got to be a way to pull out of this stupid little game of holding on to their piece of the action because they're able to do so, or so our corporate structure thinks. It may be time to get some skilled lawyers who understand this. Again, I just love the fact that our corporate structure and our corporation council is so astute, but there are limits to their ability. This is high-end stuff. The people who were permitted to write this stuff just ran roughshod over our corporation council when Spencer and Amaconi were around. because it wasn't for the benefit of the city. Everybody thought they'd make a bundle of money. It's not pathetic. Nobody's made anything and nothing's been built. What a disgusting outcome so far. From 1999 to 2013, all those years, from inception to nothing, 14 years. Think about it, folks. 14 years. We've got what? We've got nothing. Absolutely nothing. Well, not a happy camper, as they say. It's not a good thing. It's just not a good thing. Let's see what else did happen today. I'm actually a little shocked that there was something here I did see. Just see what it is. All right. I don't know what this is about. We'll check this out a little later. No, I saw something here from the mayor's office with regard to, where is it? With regard to the film industry here in Yonkers. Bear with me a moment, because it's really so important to celebrate something that I would hope would be of value to the city. Let me just see. We'll find it soon. Got so much mail that comes through these lines. We got like 1,146 emails, and it's only this morning. Okay. Oh, this is actually interesting before we get to the other stuff. Evidently, Sam Zerkas called a meeting, a press conference, I guess, tomorrow at 11 o'clock outside Yonkers City Hall. And supposedly, the former mayor, Phil Amaconi, will make a public apology for his trashing the publisher's First Amendment rights and for stealing the news racks of the Westchester Guardian, for defaming Mr. Zerka, and so on and so forth. And let's just see here. There was an apology letter. And let's just open it up. Bear with me a moment. There was an apology letter that was issued, and let me just check the stationery. I think it was from Mayor Phil Amaconi. Yes, here it is. It's on Philip A. Amaconi's stationery. It was issued on the 18th of April. It was addressed to Mr. Zerka, and it said, it reads as follows. I want to make this public apology to Mr. Sam Zerka, his wife and 8 children, and to the Westchester Guardian for statements made as mayor, which falsely charged Mr. Zerka with criminality and wrongdoing. I also want to take a moment to apologize for unlawfully confiscating the Westchester Guardian's news racks. I sincerely and deeply apologize on my behalf and on behalf of my administration for causing so much hurt to Mr. Zerka and his family. I admit that any false and defamatory statements made by my administration were wrong and brought about shame, misfortune, and scorn to Mr. Zerka and his family. I will never know the full extent of the damage the false allegations made by my administration may have caused his family, his business, and the Westchester Guardian. I am hopeful that this apology will go a long way in healing some of the wounds inflicted by these false statements and charges and somehow compensate on a personal level. It is with these sincere feelings and a humble heart that I stand to give a public apology to Mr. Sam Zerka and his family and ask they forgive me and those of my administration. Signed, very truly yours, Philip A. Amaconi, and this was dated on the 18th of April. We'll post this when we have the time. And let's just see a little further as I keep looking for that article that passed by me so quickly that, well, I see there's a little bit more time, and I did want to cover this story as well. It comes from Frans van Kat. It seems that the embassy, the French embassy in Tripoli, has been attacked. Frightening news there as well. So it looks like there's war all over the place, and we'll see just what's what. Okay, let me just see this. Now, let me see if I could find this a different way, because I know I saw it, and I can't seem to find it. All right, 1 second. Had to do with the film industry, so where is it? Okay. All right. Oh, this is maybe important to some people. The mayor's office has announced that the mayor will be launching a mayor's mobile tax office, the first of its kind, to be held on Friday, April 26th, at the Coin Park Community Center, located 777 McLean Avenue in Yonkers. The city's Office of Constituent Services office and the city's tax department will be available on Friday from 7:30 in the morning to 7:30 at night to meet with Yonkers residents and accept payments for their Westchester County taxes, which are due on April 29th. So this will take place with the mayor's mobile tax office being parked right there at the Coin Park Community Center on Friday, April 26th. So that if it's of interest, of course, you could go there. All right, let's just see. I may have gone here inadvertently. We'll just see if we can get this one other way. It's amazing. There's so much stuff. Oh, here it is. Perfect. It seems that the first annual Yonkers Film Festival is debuting October 11 and will continue all the way through the 13th. And it's the mayor who announced the launch of new festival's website. It's called YoFiFest, YoFiFest.com. So today the mayor announced that the city of Yonkers will host its first annual Yonkers Film Festival. They call it the YoFiFest, YoFi, and then FEST. It's debuting on October 11th to 13th. At the Yonkers Riverfront Library, and the festival marks the first of its kind for the city, which is dedicated to allow a unique opportunity for audience and filmmakers to connect and converse about movies. And Evelyn, the mayor, said, "We are thrilled to host our first of hopefully many film festivals here in Yonkers." And that's what the mayor said, and so very interesting. And this is pathetic, too. You know, again, the city always does this. They always pick and choose who they want to be engaged in these things. So the YoFi Festival is presented through a partnership with the City of Yonkers, the Blue Door Arts Center. They've got run-ins with the city. And the Yonkers Film Office, the Sound Associates, and Numeric Pictures. Unbelievable. Well, anyway, the bottom line is you can go visit their site, www.yofifest.com. And let's just see here what's on the site. Well, we're trying to open that up. In the meantime, while we're opening it up, we'll see what else is going on. I would like to play for you what's happening tonight. The Simply Diamond show at the Westchester Broadway Theater. I hope you'll like it. So listen in if you'd be so kind.
His hits are truly timeless. His talent has captivated generations of music lovers around the world. He's the Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, Neil Diamond. And on Tuesday, April 23rd, you can experience all his look, sound, and unmistakable energy as the Westchester Broadway Theater presents Brian LeBlanc, starring in Simply Diamond. The ultimate Neil Diamond tribute show, recreating all his unforgettable hits like Sweet Caroline, I Am, I Said, Cracklin' Rose, and so many more. 4 decades worth of unforgettable music. Paul Schaefer of Late Night with David Letterman says, Simply Diamond is the best Neil Diamond tribute show out there. And at the WBT, it's always more than just a show, it's an event. So before the concert, you'll enjoy a delicious served dinner with a choice of 6 entrees. Order tickets online at BroadwayTheater.com or call 914-592-2222. That's 914-592-2222. Enjoy the music and the magic of the one and only Neil Diamond with Brian LeBlanc starring in Simply Diamond. One night only, Tuesday, April 23rd at the Westchester Broadway Theater.
We are back. This is Westchester on the Level. We were talking about the Yonkers Film Festival for October 11th to 13th of this year, the first of its kind. You get to the site. And it says, picture start, Yo-Fi Fest, the Yonkers Film Festival, cinema for the 6th borough. When did Yonkers become the sixth borough? So interesting. My God, what's wrong with these people? Anyway, and you notice when you get to the site, it says, Yo-Fi Fest is a new film festival created by film and television professionals. Wow. Well, if that's the case, then why are they working with Blue Door Art Center? Who are they in relationship to all this expertise? Really, who are they? You know, what games they play, such favoritism rather than making it a little bit of commercial when the city is desperate for a little bit of commercial input, something that's worthwhile. And so just very, very interesting. Let's see. Let's look at their supporters. Yeah, let's see that. Oh, God. Yeah, they go make a list. The Blue Door, not-for-profit, tri-state area. That's who they claim they serve. Oh, God. Just all it says is promote not-for-profit exhibition and performance space, as well as the educational inspirational entity for the community. Really, just quit it, boys. What a waste of time. How sweet it is. Well, so it goes. Just frightening stuff. Well, these directions. Let's see if there's anything else as far as contacts are concerned. Again, the same old CRAP. They create these things, and you have to send them a message. And they don't give you the email address. They don't do anything. It's always these underhanded tricks in the hope that you'll never know where you sent it to. Oh, God, they just never quit around here. That's why I guess it's so exciting to be at the cutting edge. Let's see if there's anything else here. Okay, I don't see anything in particular here. There's a lot of email coming through. Okay, I guess that's basically it. Well, I don't think we've got any more comments. Let me quickly look there and see if there are any comments to any of the things that we've said. Okay. Well, I guess not. Anyway, it is already Tuesday. Tonight we'll be going to and attending the Yonkers City Council meetings. There'll be a few votes there, and so on and so forth. So I want to thank you for joining us today, for making it worthwhile, of course, by knowing that you're out there to to tell us what's on your mind, what you're thinking about, and to try to cover on target when we talk about specific issues. So that's all really good. And that's about it. So I want to thank you for making the time to be with us during the show, that you could just enjoy it, and we welcome you to it, and we just hope to see you tomorrow. Tomorrow is another day. It'll be Wednesday, and I think we're speaking. Let me just quickly look, because I know we're speaking to some special people from a particular... here it is. The third mammography, or 3D, sorry, it's the 3D mammography that we'll be discussing tomorrow at 11 o'clock. And then from morning on, from 10 to 11, we'll discuss other issues that may have presided. Probably has a lot to do with the city council meeting of tonight. So bear with us, and thanks again for your patience. We'll speak to you soon. It's that simple. Thanks again. Be well and goodbye. Okay.